Hello, and welcome to Fidelity Connects, the Fidelity Investments Canada's podcast, connecting you to the world of investing and helping you stay ahead. On this episode, we welcome Bobby Barnes, Head of Quantitative Index Solutions, and Vivian Sue, Director of ETFs and Liquid Alternatives, to the show. Bobby and Vivian help map out where flows are headed as the market reaches what seems to be a global economic expansion. Bobby says he sees the beginnings of a rotation into stocks that are more cyclically oriented, as they are more likely to be beneficiaries to a re-accelerating economy. Even though countries are all at different stages, Bobby says countries are all on the same journey from slowdown to recovery. Vivian shares her perspective on the Canadian ETF front. She draws similarities from this time last year when Q1 experienced positive results, having its best year ever for the Canadian ETF industry. In terms of what factors are at play, Bobby says right now we're in the early cycle, which opens up opportunities for value and dividend stocks. The only other time this has happened was in the dot-com era and the great financial crisis. Based on his team's analysis, this in turn is an opportune time to be overweight in these factors. This podcast was recorded on April 9th, 2021. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of Fidelity Investments Canada, ULC, or its affiliates. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as investment, tax, or legal advice. It is not an offer to sell or buy, or an endorsement, recommendation, or sponsorship of any entity or security cited. Read a fund's prospectus before investing. Funds are not guaranteed. Their values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated. Fees, expenses, and commissions are all associated with fund investments.
Bobby, let's begin with sort of what you are seeing. From your perspective, where are we in these markets? Are we still in very much momentum trades? Where is volatility? How do you look at this through your lens?
Yes, that's a great question. From my perspective, we're in the early innings of a rotation from an economic slowdown to an economic recovery. And so as a result, it's a really exciting time to be looking at the markets, because as you said at the top, top of this call, the things that worked over 2020, we're starting to rotate into those stocks that are more cyclically oriented, because they're likely to be the beneficiaries of a reaccelerating economy. That being said, it is what's really interesting about all of this is that there are different microcosms, depending on where you're looking. I learned that my Canadian colleagues, are in the form of lockdown right now. Similarly, I think in Paris, other parts of Europe, Germany, and even here within the U.S. where I'm based, I'm in Massachusetts, but we're not as far along in the reopening as, say, a place like Florida. But that being said, as a general statement, it's true that we're all at least on some part of that progression or journey or spectrum from slowdown to recovery.
Yeah, and as you say, it is really exciting to sort of think about the magnitude of how that works. And we're gonna talk more about obviously what that means for investing throughout today's show. Vivian, how can I ask you to kind of add that? Like, what do you watch right now? What is it that you are seeing?
Yeah, I think it really does echo sort of your introduction as well as Bobby's comments earlier. Seems like we are moving in the right direction, and we are moving towards well into the recovery. And of course, depending on the country, I think if you look at the business cycle, the US, I would say it's farther ahead into recovery relative to a country like Canada or Europe. But we're all moving in that same direction. And clearly since last November, we've seen the market in terms of performance have gone that way as well. So the cyclical sectors, financials, energy, commodities, those have been doing quite well. And I think for the month of March, things have, turned back a little bit. I think momentum was probably the best performing factor. But then overall speaking, since November of last year, it's been value at the top.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's so interesting to get your thoughts on how to work through this. Bobby, I'm actually going to, well, congratulate you because you've had a promotion. I think since the last time you joined us on Fidelity Connects and we saw you. Tell us a little bit about what you will create within this new position and sort of with a team set to create something quite specific to new factors in the market, right?
Yes, that's correct. My new role is head of quantitative index solutions. And so in that capacity, I've got a team reporting to me that develops proprietary indices that leverage Fidelity's investment insights, and so that our shareholders can get unique access to things like factors, which we've been managing for a while. Thematics is a big place for us. And then also alternatives like crypto, which we've developed indices for. And so moving forward, what a lot of people don't know is that this is actually quite big for us already. We've got over 70 indices that total in about $74 billion. And moving forward, we're just going to look to grow that business and to continue to provide unique solutions for our shareholders.
Right, and you're a rocket scientist at the helm here, kind of stick handling this entire. I mean, actually, you worked at NASA, did you not?
That is correct. Yes, I am a former rocket scientist, or perhaps you could argue I'm still somewhat one. But yes, that is correct.
I find that fascinating as sort of your background. Vivian, can you take us through the flows discussion? Because there seems to be, I mean, clearly flows into equities have been increasing. I mean, we see that, we've heard about that. There seems to be some question about from where are the flows coming? Are they coming, for instance, out of bond funds into equity funds? Is this finally cash on the sidelines moving into equity funds? Give us sort of the picture right now.
Yeah, definitely. I think I will start with the Canadian ETF industry. And so for, I guess, year to date, if we look at assets are at around $260 billion. If you look at inflows, it's been 13 billion year to date. So for the first 3 months, it's already been 13 billion, and this is actually quite similar to last year, 2020 Q1 results. And last year was the best year ever for the Canadian ETF industry. So the industry itself, in terms of sales and flows, is doing really well. And echoing what you said, Pamela, a lot of the flows have been going into equities. I think a lot of investors do see that since the sort of the market bottom March of last year, market has been going up and up and up, and a lot of investors are sort of keeping their money invested or putting more of their money into the equity market. And I think fixed income for the past couple of months has been a little bit tougher. We have not seen redemptions. Like on a net basis, it's still positive. But where we've seen redemption is actually in sort of the cash equivalent, so kind of like those high interest savings account type of ETFs. So those is where we're seeing a lot of the redemption that's going into, the equities and some fixed income. And another thing I want to know is the multi-asset. So sort of combining these different asset classes together, those multi-asset ETFs has been doing quite well also. And sorry, one last thing. A lot of investors are interested in ESG. ESG inflows year to date is $2.8 billion in Canada, and that has already surpassed the full year 2020 results at $2 billion. So I think there are a couple of themes emerging. Generally speaking, yes, everyone's going into equities. People are seeking returns. The yields are low. Where else can they get sort of the capital gains from, right? And then a lot of people are going into the thematic, like the ESG kind of trades to try to capitalize on what's going on in the market, and also taking advantage of the fact that there are just more choices in the market now for them to really express their view.
That's really interesting. And as we march towards Earth Day, we're going to be talking about this more and more on Fidelity Connects. Bobby, can I ask you to kind of jump in there and follow up with, again, sort of as you create products to capture some of these obviously desires of investors and themes, like how does ESG fit into what you're doing?
Yeah, so ESG is a big one for us. You know, as we as Vivian mentioned, we're seeing a ton of investor appetite. And so some of the things that my team is working on is looking at ways to integrate ESG into some of the alpha factors that we also manage and produce. And so that's an activity that will continue, that we'll absolutely continue to do. Similarly, you know, when you speak of ESG, there are a couple of ways to play it. You know, obviously you can do it on the equity side, which is probably the most common right now. But, you know, my team is multi-asset, right? And so on the other side of that, you've got corporates where you can do, you can play it very similarly, where you want to get exposure to those corporations that, you know, have very good coupons, if you will, but they still invest alongside of your values. And so, you know, segment that into those corporates, into the ones that fit those ESG profiles.
It's fascinating. And it's fascinating for the right now and what it's reflecting, but also very much for the long term. Vivian, take us through what's happening right now and what, you know, investors might want to know, especially how to not miss the boat on a couple of different themes. Like, what are those themes right now?
Yeah, I think the themes, we sort of touched on it a little bit already, you know, equities and within equity, what kind of factors have been outperforming. That certainly has been sort of your value, small cap, and dividend, of course. These type of factors tend to outperform in sort of economic recovery period. But I always go back to sort of the base thesis that, you know, investors should always stay invested. I think there are other portfolio managers who've used charts before where they show, you know, how many days that you miss in the market that actually has drastic long-term impact to your overall return. Staying invested is one thing, but because the market is so volatile, staying invested and actually having your investments stay diversified. So I mean, not just from a factor perspective, but also from an asset class perspective, having a bit of exposure to equities, fixed income, that will help give investors a smoother ride, a less volatile experience, which then sort of won't spook, you know, investors too much when there's significant drawdown or significant events happening in the market. So having that patience going forward is, I think, is still key. So value, dividend, size, we talked a little bit about those already, and Bobby will touch on those a bit more. So these are the factors that outperform. So we always say, you know, when it comes to factor investing, yes, you could stay long-term invested. All of these factors have shown to outperform the broad market over long periods of time. You could use it to tweak your allocation. So for example, if you have clients who are near or already in retirement, they need income. So obviously a factor like dividend yield will really help sort of give your clients a bit more income to help them achieve their investment goals. But of course, you could tactically allocate as well, you know, using value, for example, or size to tweak your exposure given where we are in the market. But I always go back to my original point. It's very hard to tell, especially in, you know, looking at 2020 and now into 2021, how fast the market is moving, how fast the business cycle is moving. It's hard to determine where exactly we are in sort of this business cycle. And so having a bit of exposure to different factors as well as different asset classes will give you a better results at the end of the day.
So everything Vivian says is correct, but I do want to, I guess, fully round out the suite of options that are available right now, because there are some quite unique opportunities in the here and now. And so, as Vivian said, right now we're in an early cycle, or at least it looks that way more broadly speaking, and that tends to be a tailwind for things like value and dividend. And so, you know, certainly for most investors, I think it does make sense to prescribe kind of a set it and forget it approach to factors, where you make a structural overweight and you let that ride. But, you know, if to the extent that you can be opportunistic, the market oftentimes presents you with very great or good opportunities to make a tilt, as Vivian said before. And so if we highlight slide one quickly, I'll kind of help illustrate what kind of opportunity we're seeing right now. And so what's fascinating about this look here is that there have only been two times throughout pretty much anyone's investing career, most of us at least, where you've been able to buy a basket of value or dividend stocks at these levels that you can buy them at right now. And you see that was in the dot-com era in the late 90s, and then the financial crisis of the around 2008-2009 period. And in both cases, those stocks went from very cheap levels like they are today to being much more expensive as you experience economic activity or reacceleration, and those that caused those stocks to have better fundamentals over time. And so while it is true, it's great to be structurally overweight these things over time. This is, through, my work team's analysis, this does profile like a particularly opportune time to consider making overweights to these two factors.
That's fascinating. Yeah. I mean, and very tactical and timely, as you point out. It's so interesting to see. Vivian, there's some great questions coming in here. I'm going to put a couple of these to you. We're just figuring out whether video kind of went in and out there, Bobby. We might ask you to restate one thing in a sec, but don't worry.
Sure.
Vivian, tell us a little bit about if you're seeing, and this is a question from an investor, if you're seeing flows or trends in Canada from fixed income into liquid alts. I mean, there's a big question, obviously, about the 60-40, and for many that holds, but there does seem to be a bit of a conversation going on about what the 40 is holding these days. What do you see, Vivian?
I think that's a great question. And I think that question has been on people's minds for quite some time now, because interest rate has been so low for so long. People are looking for additional diversification. They're looking for yield opportunities, something that can contribute further to their return. So I would say that 60-40, we have seen a lot of people looking at different types of asset classes, including liquid alternatives, as you mentioned. So in Canada, the liquid alternative category was created in January 2019, so just over 2 years ago. And the assets now, combining mutual funds and ETFs and different vehicles together, assets are now at $18 billion. So it's growing at a very, very fast pace. And a lot of that is coming out of, so I think people use liquid alternative for two main reasons. One is for return enhancement, so something that can help boost their overall return. The second, which I think a lot more people are looking at, are diversification benefits. Just because we've seen so much volatility in the market, they're looking for uncorrelated assets. And on the ETF side, we have certainly seen a couple of alternative assets come into the market, a couple of offerings from ETF firms, including Bitcoin ETFs, right? So Bitcoin ETFs, I think as a total, if I got my numbers right, it's probably at about $1.3 billion now. And the first Bitcoin ETF was only launched in mid-February. So it's only been, a month and a half or so. A lot of assets have been going in, and a lot of retail investors have been allocating towards this sort of new emerging asset class. I think it'll take more time to really see how something like a crypto fits into a portfolio. We've done some analysis, and a lot of paper are out there as well talking about the benefits of incorporating a asset class like this. But I think generally speaking, 60-40 is sort of still the majority of people's asset allocation, and sort of staying true to sort of that stable allocation, and then tweaking their exposures, whether through factors, through liquid alternatives on the side. And I think we're seeing a lot more activities happening with that kind of investment trades.
Well, I'll pick up on something that Vivian said there, which is really the correlations in the market. I mean, for a long time, the argument was where do you find something that is not related, not correlated? It was a struggle to find that. What you're looking at now clearly is helping along that line. But do you want to just sort of pick up on what we've seen in terms of correlations over, I don't know, you know, whatever given time, and how that's changing, if at all, or fast enough in your mind?
Yes. There's a lot to say there. It's very interesting if you study the market, you know, like I do. If you go back through time, you know, the 60/40 that Vivian mentioned was meant to diversify your portfolio because equities and fixed income were negatively correlated. But then in times of crisis, you see that correlation go positive. You've seen similar things play out when considering crypto as well, where in the depths of the darkest days of, you know, say March of last year, everything was going down, including crypto, all at once. If you study these things and look at them closely, especially like right now, you're seeing a lot of that unwind. And so it's becoming, as we like to say on the equity side, it's becoming a stock picker's market, where it's not just one factor that's driving the performance of stocks. You know, it's getting more, the technical term, idiosyncratic or company specific. So those companies whose fundamentals are improving, they're becoming less correlated with the market. And then similarly across asset classes, you know, we're getting back to a renormalization of the behavior of these asset classes we're talking about, be it fixed income, crypto, or equities. And so you're getting back to a place where it's easier for an investor to diversify by making allocations to each of these different asset classes.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And then either of you sort of just hit home the idea of how being diversified through various factors. I mean, maybe in a way you have, I don't know if it's an easier time of it, but there are just more options, it seems, for you to put together for a portfolio. Is that accurate, or am I on the wrong?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's a great way of saying it, is that you have more options, because as things become more correlated, your opportunity set goes down. You know, the way to think about it, if you think you have 10 stocks and they're all unique, but they're all going to behave the same, you really have one stock, right? And so as things become less correlated, you said exactly right. You have more options. You are more diversified, and they do behave differently. So you get the benefits of diversification.
Vivian, a question rolling in here from one of the investors. Are flow trends in Canada similar to trends in the U.S.? It's a very interesting question, actually, because it sort of speaks to where you want exposure and how things are moving, maybe based from sort of the Canadian and maybe the Canadian currency perspective. How do you see that, and what's sort of the evidence one way or the other?
Right, definitely. I think in Canada, there has been, at least from the Canadian equity market perspective, our market actually have done quite well. So sort of piggyback off of what Bobby was saying, the fact that we are in sort of this reflationary period, cyclical sectors like energy, financials, you know, and even commodities tend to do well in this kind of market cycle. And if you look at the Canadian market, that's basically our economy, right? Our economy, if you look at the TSX sector allocation, we are heavily concentrated into financials, energies, materials. These are the sectors that sort of Canada represents. So we've been always been very concentrated in these sectors, and that's why you've seen from a currency perspective, Canadian dollar has been doing quite well. And you can see that on the performance side too, Canadian equity have been doing quite well. Of course, I think probably over the long term, given the fact that US, you know, for example, is so much, seems like so much further ahead than Canada when it comes to vaccinations and sort of reopening, I think US will get ahead again. But for the past month or 2 months or so, Canadian equities has certainly been sort of shining brighter than US. And if I could actually pose the question to Bobby to speak a little bit about the U.S. trends as well in terms of ETF assets, what he's seeing in the U.S.
Yeah, Bobby.
Sure, yeah. A lot of the trends were very similar to what Vivian said that was experienced in Canada. And it's almost, paradoxical, when you think about it, that 2020 being the stressful year that it was for everyone. And yet, it's within financial services, is one of the best years on record. It's just, it feels weird. It feels weird to say that, especially, when you think about just how many people globally have struggled throughout the year. And so, we've continued to see that into 2021. Ironically, we haven't seen flows from fixed income or even cash into equities yet. But what we have seen is an internal rotation within equities themselves, where the rotation from growth to value, or from defensive and safety into cyclically oriented sectors like industrials, materials, financials, et cetera. We're seeing that in spades. And it's, I think to the extent that the economic activity is going to continue to rise throughout the year as people get vaccinated and things reopen, I think we're just going to continue to see that trend continue.
You know, it's been fascinating to sort of see what you see on your dashboard and therefore for investors to figure out how that's going to work going forward. I want to thank both of you, Bobby Barnes and Vivian Su, for joining us at Fidelity Connects.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening to the Fidelity Connects podcast. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to Fidelity Connects on your podcast platform of choice. And if you like what you're hearing, leave a review or a 5-star rating. You can visit fidelity.ca for more information on future live webcasts. And don't forget to follow Fidelity Canada on Twitter. Thanks again, and see you next time.